As Colin mentioned, we are in the middle of a sermon series called Thank You Notes, where we're looking at different places in Scripture where people showed gratitude for various things. Last week, we looked at a healed leper who showed gratitude, and we gave thanks for the way that God is at work in those margin places, those hard places that are uncomfortable in our lives. This morning, we are going to look at a thank you note from Paul to some of his friends in the church in Philippi. So this is from the first chapter in the book of Philippians. I'm going to read verses 3 through 11. But before we do that, let's go to God in prayer. Let's pray. Holy God, we are delighted to be together in your presence this morning. And so, God, we pray that your Spirit would continue to be at work, moving through this place in a way that is real and palpable. God, that as we read the words, as we hear the words, as they are proclaimed, Lord, that they would be your words, that anything that is not of you would simply fall away. And may this encounter with you be so powerful. We cannot walk away unchanged. In your holy name we pray, amen. So I'd invite you to listen then for the word of the Lord from the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. Paul says, I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you because you hold me in your heart, for all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I can still remember the first Christmas when I was little that I decided I needed to buy gifts for all of my friends for Christmas. Now I'm young, I'm in elementary school, I can't like drive around, there's no money, I can't do like all the fun shopping pieces that I enjoy so much right now. But I did think, after some thought and consideration, it occurred to me the perfect gift for my friends, the friendship bracelet. Now, maybe what the kids these days need to know is that Taylor Swift did not invent the friendship bracelet. In my day, that was the heyday of the friendship bracelet. You remember, you got that. You had to get this very specific kind of string from the craft store, and you cut the long pieces, and you tie a knot on one end, and then you tape it like to a wall or the back of a chair, and then you do all these like knots and braids and all of the things to make this very unique friendship bracelet. What a gift it would be if I could make each of my friends a unique and beautiful friendship bracelet. Or I could collect up all of my quarters and go to those little kids' slot machines that they have outside of the Walmart. Do you know what I'm talking about? When they're in the like the plastic bubbles, and just buy them all friendship bracelets, which is what I did. It was still a lot of love. I just didn't have time to do all the braiding. So I wrap them all up. I wrap up the friendship bracelets, and I take them to school and proudly present them to all of my friends. And then we could all wear our friendship bracelets. It was just really important to me that I could give them a gift, that I could give my friends a gift to acknowledge how special they were to me, how important the relationship was. And I think that's what's happening here. I know that that's what's happening here in the book of Philippians. It's gift giving to dear friends is the whole point of this letter that Paul has written to the church in Philippi. You see, Paul and this church in Philippi, they have this very special relationship. This is the first church that Paul has established on the European soil. And then as Paul continues his travels and he goes to all the different places and starts new churches and all the different places in Europe, he continues to stay in touch with this church that's so dear to him. And this church in Philippi continues to send him gifts and supplies to help him as he goes about doing his ministry. And so then this letter, this book of Philippians that we're reading, it's a thank you note. It's a thank you note for the kindness and generosity that the Philippians have been showing to Paul. He's grateful that they have joined together to do the work of Christ. Unfortunately, if we keep reading, as Paul is writing this letter to this church in Philippi, we see that there's several things that are going on that he needs to tell this church about. What happened is that there's this guy, Epaphroditus, who is the one who's delivered the gifts. He's from the church in Philippi, and he's the one who has gone to visit Paul and take these gifts to Paul. But while they're together, Epaphroditus, I keep saying this. If you want to say it differently, it's fine. No, I don't know how to say this word. Anyway, his name is something to the effect of Epaphroditus. And as he's hanging out with Paul, he becomes very, very ill, to the point that they don't know if he's going to make it. And so Paul is sending Epaphroditus back to Philippi with this letter of thanks, but also, please take care of our friend. He's not doing well. I need you to take care of him. So he sends this letter that we now call the book of Philippians. Paul's concern for his sick friend demonstrates the intimacy of their dear relationship. It shows the reciprocity in how they care for one another and how they demonstrate that care. They learn from one another. They express interest in the well-being of one another. The relationship isn't based on one person doing all the giving while one does all of the receiving. But it's a constant exchange of affection and gratitude and interest in the other that continues to build this connection. And what's so fascinating about the book of Philippians is that we often call it the letter of joy. We do that because there's only four chapters in the book of Philippians, but the noun for joy, which is chara, is used 5 times, and the verb for rejoice, charein, is used 9 times. This letter is like full of gratitude and joy, and I love you, and it's so fantastic. And yet, the truth of the matter is we know that they are hurting, that their friend is ill, that they're unsure if he's going to make it, that he needs to be cared for. And on top of that, Paul is actually writing this letter from jail. And later in the letter, he's going to talk about that he's worried about the trial. He's worried about what the conviction is going to be and if he will even survive himself. And so now, here we are in a time when both the Philippians and Paul are hurting. They are in places where they're experiencing fear and anxiety and heartache and pain. Everything feels uncertain. And I wonder if that's a thing that we can connect with this morning. I'm wondering if we feel any of that fear, anxiety, uncertainty in our own lives. My guess is we do. Last week we had community prayer and several people stood up and shared the hurt and heartache going on in their lives. And even Marchant, the last prayer request we had was Marchant standing up and saying, things are so heavy. We need to be praying for one another. Things are heavy. I know, too, that there are so many of us who have loved ones who are hurting, who are sick, who are facing scary diagnoses. The holidays are coming up, and while they're lovely and wonderful, they come with real heartache and hurt when your family doesn't look like what you want it to look like. So I'm wondering if that has fear, anxiety, and uncertainty in it. And we haven't talked too much necessarily this morning about your emotions on the state of our country today. But if you are look anything like my social media algorithm, we're all over the place. Some are elated or relieved, but there's also real fear, anxiety, and heartache right now. And so with all of that then, we have gathered together this morning wondering what is ahead, being a people who feel the burden of uncertainty, much like Paul and the Philippians. But that's exactly why this is the perfect morning then for us to read the letter of joy. Because it's here in the hurting of Paul and Epaphroditus. I change his name every time I say it. But it's here in the hurting of Paul and the Philippians and the people that are referenced in the letter. It's here in this hurting. Here is where they need each other. This is where the gifts are more than just gifts of money or the supplies that the church is sending Paul. But here is where the gift of each other is what Paul is celebrating in his thank you letter. This is why he opens the letter with, "I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you." Paul is reminding us it's the gift of one another that holds us and sustains us in those times that are uncertain. And this is what I don't want you to miss either, that Paul tells us that they are united and they're connected, not just because they really like each other or because they all agree on all of the things, but Paul tells us that they are together because they are sharing in God's grace. They are united in Christ. They are pulled together into a community, into a family, because it is Christ who has brought them together and gave them a connection, a bond that cannot be broken even when the world is broken. They stand together on that which is eternal, that even when our lives take us to places that cause grief or despair, it is the grace and presence of Jesus calling us to be together in a community, and that cannot be undone. So prison or illness or hurt or elections or pain or uncertainty, even death itself, Scripture tells us, will not be taken away from that which Christ has brought together. The gift, then, is community. The gift, then, is community in Christ Jesus, that God calls us together, and we're all in on that, that we're there, we're celebrating this gift that we have been given, that as we follow in the way of Jesus, we know that we have the gift of Christ Jesus. There is a pastor in the Chicago area named Lillian Daniel, and she wrote this book called When Spiritual But Not Religious Is Not Enough. And she writes in this book about a time that she was going to a speaking engagement in Louisville, and she was going to fly to Louisville that afternoon, speak at the speaking engagement, and then fly back. But as they're waiting on the flight, the weather outside becomes miserable because Chicago. This is why we live in the South, but anyway. So the weather is terrible. There will be no planes leaving the airport. She's not going to make her speaking engagement. So she calls her husband and she said, "I don't know what I'm going to do. How am I going to get there? I've got to get to Louisville." He said, "You drove to the airport. Just take your car." She said, "I don't do well on long car drives. I don't like to drive that far. The weather outside is miserable. I don't think I can do this by myself." And so she gets off the phone. "What am I going to do? What am I going to do?" Well, as you do when you're all bemoaning the fact that we're not going to be able to get on a flight, she's talking to all the people, and everybody's kind of coming up with a thing, and she's like, "I mean, I do have a car here. I just don't want to go by myself. I don't suppose anybody needs a ride to Louisville." And three people said, "I do." She said, "I don't know. Like, how do I know you're trustworthy?" And one guy pulls out his military ID, says, "I'm in the military. I'm trustworthy." And the other guy says, "I'm a minister." And she says, "Well, then I know you're not trustworthy." She says, this sounds pretty safe, and I think it'll be okay. So this group of four go, and they get in her car, and she says, the nervousness between these strange people in my car and the weather outside, she's like, I'm driving very slow, and it's not safe, and I'm not doing a great job. And finally, that third person says, "Do you want me to drive?" She said, I don't know you. I'll give you my car. You'll drive me to who knows where." And he said, "Just so you know, my profession, I'm a stunt car driver." She said, "Praise the Lord." And so they pull over, and then he drives them there much, much more safely than she could have. And so she writes in her book, she says, "Later people told me I was crazy to go on this random road trip with strangers, but none of us would have made it there alone." This is the gift, and this is the gift that we are so grateful for this morning. This is why we have gathered together this morning, this gift of community, where we can give thanks that we are together in the grace of God, where we can have these amazing Sundays where we baptize a whole family of people and give thanks to God, a place where we can write in devotionals and give them to our confirmation students, a place where we're going to gather whether we're pleased about the election or not pleased about the election, a place where people can stand up here and tell you that even if they get hit by a bus, they know we're going to show up because that's what we do. That's who we are, the community that we are together. That when we are disappointed, when we are devastated, when we are elated, when we are excited, we know that we're going to show up on Sunday morning and we're going to gather around this table and we are going to give thanks for this community that we have been given. Because here we stand together in Christ, and that's a gift that we have been given. And we do this because we know none of us will make it alone. This place, Kairos, it's a beautiful community. And like the Philippians, we share in the grace of God that we've been united in Christ, that we care for one another, we show up for one another, and so we give thanks for that. Henry Nouwen is a theologian and a priest who was a professor before leaving academia to live in a community for people with intellectual disabilities, and the way he puts it is this: community is a place where the many become one. It is a place where we can receive each other as gifts. The gift of community is a gift from God, and we must be grateful for it. And so we are. I give thanks for you, for the opportunity to gather with you every single Sunday, to pray with you, to pray for you, to get to do life together. That even this week, you texted me to ask about praying for me. I'm grateful that we can do this, that we are part of a community together, and so we're going to give thanks. And one of the things that we're doing each week as we work our way through this series is that we're taking time to reflect on how are we grateful for that. And so last week we thought about how are we grateful for witnessing God at work in the margins. And so I encouraged you to write that down. This week I'm encouraging you to think about how are you grateful for community? How has community spoken into your life? And you know the love and grace of God better because of community. And I would offer especially think about the Kairos community. There's paper on the pews. There's paper on the back tables. If you want to grab paper on the back table, the musicians are going to lead us back into just a little bit of a time to reflect and think. They're going to send us, we're going to think about that thousand hallelujah song as we give praise to this God who gives us community. But I would encourage you to write this down, and then we would love for you, as people are turning them back in, we're hanging them back along the wall so that we can share in those stories with one another, continue to give thanks together for this God who's given us such a beautiful community. Friends, let's take time to give thanks.